Thank you very much. The topic that I will be discussing is the concept of Am HaNivchar. When we recite the Birchas HaTorah every morning, we say Ashabach HaBonu Mikol HaAmim Minasan Lanu Estarasa. When we say the Kiddush Yan Yonta, we say Ashabach HaBonu Mikol HaAmim Kiddush on Shabbos Kibonu Bacharta. Soon after the Second World War was over, after the Holocaust was over, there were many stories floating around about what happened under the Nazis. So one of the stories that was published was that one of the Nazis was once torturing one of the Jews, and as he was torturing him and beating him, so he screamed at him with disgust, and he said in German, "Do you crazy Jews, do you silly Jews still believe that you are the Am HaNivchar? You still believe that you're the chosen nation?" So the story goes that the Jew who was being tortured said, "Yes, certainly." So he said, "How can it be? But you're being tortured, or you're being killed." So he said, "You're obviously not the chosen nation. The chosen nation will never torture anyone. We suffer. It's possible that we're the chosen nation. The Raidif cannot be the chosen nation." This is in fact one of the simonim of the chosen nation, as the Talmud points out. The Jewish people are different in their nature. They are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomli Chasodim. And it couldn't be that as a matter of principle we have people, Yotzim min HaKlal, sometimes you have people who are not Rachmanim, not Baishanim, not Gomli Chasodim. In fact, it's interesting, the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer, in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Ebenezer speaks about intermarriage. You have to be careful not to marry a non-Jewish person, not to marry a mamzer. A kohen has to be careful not to marry a grusha, and so on. So it says in the Ramah, he quotes from the Rishonim, that if you have another fellow Jew who doesn't display the midas of Rachmanis, of Baishonis, of Milos Chasodim, you have to be choshish, maybe he's not Jewish. These are considered the hallmark of the Jewish people. And when a non-Jew converts and becomes Jewish, we believe, literally, Gershin is Gayer, he's endowed with a different neshama. The old neshama disappears and he's given a new neshama, like the neshamas of the Bnei Yisrael, which comes from Tachas Kisei HaKovet. And this is what the Mishnah seems to be indicating. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos draws the contrast between the Bnei Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Banim LaMakom. That all of men, all of mankind was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah includes non-Jews as well. But Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Banim LaMakom, that concept that the children carry on the DNA from the parents, that they have the same genes as the parents, this is only by Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael having their genes, Midas of Elokus, it means the same thing as Tzelem Elokim, but to a greater extent, to a greater degree. And this is the source of what the Baal HaTanya speaks of later in his work of the Ahava HaMesuteres, the hidden love that every Jew has towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the extent, this is not just an agadic, fanciful concept, this is halacha. The famous Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin writes that sometimes the halacha says we have a right to force a man to give his wife a get, even though he screams bloody murder that he doesn't want to give the get. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, in Bava Basra, the Gemara asks, but the get has to be given midaito. If you pressure the man, if you force him into giving the get bal korcha, so it's not a kosher get. So how can the Mishnah say that sometimes if the husband refuses to give a get, in some instances the bezin will be makino so acha teitzei nafshi, you beat him up, you bludgeon him till he either gives a get or she'll become an almana. Either you give him a choice, one or the other. So how can that be? But this mamish a get bal korcha. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara answers, no, that every Jewish person really wants to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the rabbis determine that in this case it's obligatory upon the husband to give his wife a get, deep down in his heart we really know that he has an Abba HaMesuteres towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to keep all the mitzvahs, and he wants to give his wife the get. But what? He has a Yetzirah, this is his pseudo-personality that doesn't let him do the mitzvahs, doesn't let him listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wishes, he doesn't want to follow the rabbis. So we beat him up till he says Roitza Ani, and when he makes that statement Roitza Ani, it's really true. His innermost Ani, his real Ani, his real self really does want to keep the mitzvahs. So this is the principle that we assume, it's not stam a drasha, This is a principle in halacha. We assume that every Jewish person has an Abba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this is an instinctive feeling that every Jew has. And the Baal HaTanya quotes the pasuk in Tehillim that reads, Ka'yol Tarog Alafike Moyim, like the deer. I was just told this week that my name is Tzvi, and in Yiddish my name is Herschel, so they showed me that in the book by Professor Felix, that's a mistake. That Hersh is a deer, and the word Tzvi is not a deer. The word Tzvi is a gazelle. So, Ayol is really a deer. Okay, good morning. So, Kayol, we always used to translate Kayol Tarog Alafike Moim like the gazelle. So, you got to translate correctly now. They quote Professor Felix, quotes in his book that the Gemara Chulin points this out. That the Ayol is the deer that has the twisted horns, and the Tzvi is the gazelle that doesn't have twisted horns. Okay. So Kalyol Tarog Alafike Moyim, like a deer, knows instinctively how to find the water. It doesn't have a map, it doesn't see where it's going. It can instinctively figure out where the water is in order to drink. Kenafshi Tarog Elecho Hashem. So too the Jewish soul yearns to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu instinctively. So we believe, this is a principle, this is an Iker and Amuna, we believe that every Jew has an Abba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His neshama desires to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With respect to the other Umas HaOlam, we do not make such an assumption. We assume, like they assume, that there is what they call the tabula rasa, that the neshama, the mind, is blank, like a blank blackboard. And then afterwards, the people make decisions and develop notions based on education and based on, they formulate opinions based on what they hear from others and their experiences in life. So the answer is this is not a contradiction. With respect to the Umas HaOlam, we do accept what they say, that is tabula rasa. There is no such thing as an Abba HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With respect to Bnei Yisrael, because we assume that we are Bonim LaMakom, we have this greater degree of Tzelem Elokim, to the extent that we are called Bonim LaMakom. So we assume that we have this Abba HaMesuteris. It's interesting, the Talmud has a principle that Anochi Sheshovas is Chayiv Misa. A non-Jew is not permitted to observe Shabbos. So the Rambam has a whole different understanding of this, but the Poshup Shat in the Gemara seems to imply that it's a special din with respect to Shabbos. Vosefis and the Mokar, the source for this concept, is a pasuk that appears in Parshas Noah after the Mabul. Yom Valayla Lo Yishbosu. Why is this recorded in the Chumash after the Mabul? So the Pashto seems to imply that the observance of Shabbos is not only a mitzvah, there are many mitzvahs in the Chumash that is singled out as being different from the other mitzvahs, the Hainu, like we had the mitzvah Kadoshim Tihiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The mitzvah of Kadoshim Tihiyu is basically another form of saying B'halachta B'drachov. We were all created B'Tzelem Elokim, and we were commanded to preserve that Tzelem Elokim. So the Torah tells us, Kedoshim Tiwa Ki Kodosh Ani Hashem Alakech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kodosh, and He commands us, V'halachta B'drachav, He created us, B'Tzelem Alakim, so He wants us to preserve that Tzelem Alakim by acting in a fashion of Kedusha. The Pasuk seems to say that observance of Shabbos is also not only a mitzvah, it's an aspect of this mitzvah of V'halachta B'drachav as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos, so He wants us to rest on Shabbos as well because of V'halachta B'drachav. Now, the Umas HaOlam were also created. The neshamas of all the Umas HaOlam are also B'Tzelem Elokim. So it would make sense for a Nochri also to go V'Halachta B'Drachov. In fact, that's what the Pasuk says. That Pasuk, V'Halachta B'Drachov, appears in Parshas Kisovoy. So the very next Pasuk says, V'Ro Kalami Ha'aretz, when all of the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecha, that you, the Jewish people, have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim, by fulfilling V'Halachta B'Drachov, so the Pasuk concludes, V'yoru Mimeko, they will learn from you how to be Yirei Shamayim. The Rabban Shalom didn't command the Umas HaOlam that they have to go V'Halachta B'Drachov. This is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenech, but it certainly makes sense as an Eilim Mitzvah B'Yoyseh for a non-Jew to volunteer it. A non-Jew is also created B'Tzelem Elokim. He also has the Midas of Elokus. He doesn't have that level of Bonim Lamakim. He doesn't have it in the genes, in the DNA, to the same extent that the Bnei Yisrael had, but the Umas HaOlam were also created al pi pashtus B'Tzelem Elokim, so it makes sense for them. Although they were not commanded V'Halachta B'Drachov, but it would make sense. So that's what the pasuk concludes, V'Yorim Mimeko, they should learn from you to have Yirei Shamayim, and they should learn from the Jewish people to preserve their Tzelem Elokim as well. So one might have thought that the same might apply perhaps with respect to Shabbos. Our observance of Shabbos is not just, we do a lot of mitzvahs. Some of the mitzvahs that we observe are based on v'halach v'drochav. Like Rav Soloveitchik said, there is a Gemara in the beginning of Brochus, but the Gemara says, how do we know from Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? Who does he daven to? He davens to himself. What in the world does that mean? He davens. Rav Soloveitchik said, we're not exactly sure what it means, but he thinks that the upshot of the passage in the Talmud is that when we daven, it's not stama mitzvah like tzitzis, like shofar, other mitzvahs. The mitzvah of davening is an aspect of a halachta bedrochav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens, that somehow a midah of elokus, we don't know what that means, who does he davens to himself. So our davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also an aspect of halachta bedrochav. And the same perek, in the first perek in Brachas, the Gemara says that we derive from Sukkim in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. God doesn't have a body, how can he wear tefillin? What are they driving at? So some of the commentaries, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, some of the commentaries explain that what the Talmud is driving at is that when we are commanded to put on tefillin, that's also a mitzvah of tefillin, but it's also an aspect of the mitzvah of a halach v'drachav. So the observance of Shabbos is also, Pasuk says, Kishesh Yishamam Vassal Shemesh 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 Shabbos Vayinofash, God rested on Shabbos, so we should rest also. Observance of Shvisa on Shabbos is an aspect of the halach v'drachav. So true, the Nachrim, the Umasoylam, were never commanded to fulfill the halach v'drachav. It's not from the Sheva Mitzvah's been enough, but it makes a lot of sense that they should volunteer it as an Enei Mitzvah V'yoyse. In fact, the Pasuk says, we're supposed to show them the way. V'ro Kalami Hort, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecho. We should act in such a way of halach v'drachav. We should preserve our Tzelem Elokim and demonstrate to the nations of the world that they can do the same. V'yorim Mecca, they should learn from us to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to preserve their Tzelem Elokim as well. So one might have thought that the Umas Olam, it would be a nice idea that they should volunteer as an Ein HaMetzuvah V'yoyse to observe Shabbos also. So that's what the Pasuk says, no. After the Dor HaMabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that there's such a Yerida in the Tzelem Elokim of all of mankind that this no longer makes any sense. Yom HaBalayla Lo Yishbosa, he doesn't want the nations of the world to observe Shabbos. This aspect of Elokus, this aspect of Halach V'drachav just doesn't make any sense by the Umas HaOlam. And the Zohar has a comment on the Pasuk, Beni Beimedei Yisrael Osi LiOlam, that the observance of Shabbos is something private and something that only belongs to the Bnei Yisrael. That's how we say in the davening on Shabbos. V'lo nesato Hashem Elokeinu l'goyim ha'aretzos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the observance of Shabbos to the non-Jews. Even if they want to volunteer it, as an Ein Mitzvah V'yoyse, it doesn't make sense. V'lo nechalt ma'akeinu l'yavdiv silen gamim l'chosa l'ishkon ha'arelim kili sarab chanesata b'yavar. Hashabom b'charta. The Bechiris Yisrael makes it that we have more of a Tzelem Elokim. We have the Bonim l'makim. So it only makes sense that we should observe Shabbos in the sense of a halach v'drachav. This aspect of Halach Tebedrachav doesn't apply to the Umas HaOlam. And the Zohar gives the mashal in this context. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Mashal to the maid who has the keys to all of the rooms in the royal palace. And the maid has the keys to the kitchen and the dining room and the bedrooms and all the rooms. And the king and the queen are having privacy in their bedroom, and the maid takes the key and opens up and walks in the middle. When the king and the queen are there, they want a little privacy, they want a little quiet. So we'll certainly give the maid the death penalty. So that's what the Pasuk says, that Nochri Sheshavas is Chayv Misa. The Nochri who wants to observe Shabbos is intruding on the Beni, Bein Bnei Yisrael, Oisili Yolam. This only applies to the Bnei Yisrael. We believe that it's a different neshama. The Bnei Yisrael have a different type of neshama, which has more of a degree of Tzelem Elokim, to the extent that we call it Bonim Lamokim. There is a famous comment that appears in the Kuzari by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. He writes that the philosophers of the Middle Ages divided everything in the world into four categories: Domim, Tzameach, Chai, Medaber, minerals, and vegetables, and animals. And human beings. So he says, no, we have to have a fifth category. Damim Tzameach Chai Medaber, Bnei Yisrael. Why Bnei Yisrael? Bnei Yisrael are part of the Medaber, part of the human race. So the Jewish people have more mitzvahs than the Umas HaOlam. So the Kuzari says, no, it's a different category. You know the story of the Kuzari, there was a non-Jewish king who worshipped Avodah Zarah, he subscribed to a different religion, and he was very erlich, he was very frum. And he kept on having a dream that his kavanas are pure, but he's worshipping the wrong religion. So he tried, he kept on having the same dream, so he figured he'd better investigate what other religions are there around. So he was going to look into the Islam and Christianity. He didn't think there's what to think about the Jewish religion, because the Jewish people were so downtrodden. Jews were in Golis. He thought that for sure is not the correct religion. Then, the last minute, he changed his mind, and he invited a representative of the Jewish religion as well. And then he fell in love with the Jewish religion. And then he converted, and he got the cabinet of his country to convert, and he got all the people to convert. This, the Kuzari, is a historical novel, but the story is a chunk of history. The people, the Melech HaKuzarim, and that community, the Kuzarim, had contact with the Jewish community in Spain for several centuries. They used to send Rabbanim, they used to correspond, they used to send letters, and they were guiding them. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi imagines what the conversation was between the Chover, the rabbi representing the Jewish religion, and the Melech HaKuzarim. So he presents it that the rabbi is asking the Melech HaKuzarim, can you imagine, would you think that it's possible to have a person who doesn't eat and doesn't drink for 40 days and 40 nights and he can survive? And he can live. So he says, no, that's impossible. So he says, well, Baal Yos, it is possible. Moshe Rabbeinu, our tradition has it. Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo yachalti, umayim lo shasisi. And then the Kuzari says, it's not only Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only he was the Yotzei Min HaKlal. All of Klal Yisrael are like that. Because the rabbis tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was on a higher level of prophecy than that of the other Nevi'im. And the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah considers this one of the 13 principles of faith, one of the Yud Gimel Ikor Hu Emunah, and he lists off the four differences between the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to the prophecy of the Shai Nevi'im. One of the differences is that the other prophets got their Nevuah always b'chaloim, in a dream. They couldn't be awake, and Moshe Rabbeinu got his Nevuah b'hokitz. Now, was it only Moshe Rabbeinu who is able to have a Nevuah b'hokitz? No. On the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, by Matan Torah, all the Jewish people were awake, and they were listening to the Rabbani Shalom, proclaimed the Aseret HaDibra. So it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu prepared himself, and therefore he had this constantly. He always had Nevuah B'Hokitz V'lo B'Chalom. But all the Bnei Yisrael could have theoretically had it, if they had it on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai. So the Kuzari understands that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights, Lechem Lo Yechalti, Maim Lo Shosisi, that wasn't really unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was always prepared, so he could always do that stunt. But Bnei Yisrael could have done it as well. He understands that this is an aspect of Bnei Yisrael. So that's what prompts him to say, that's what the Chover, representing the Jewish religion, says, that the fact that we can have such a human being, so the Melech HaKuzarim says, yeah, that's an angel. You have angels. They don't eat and they don't drink and they live. So the rabbi representing Judaism says, no, I'm not talking about an angel. I'm talking about a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu, representing all of Klal Yisrael, was able to function for 40 days and 40 nights without eating. So this shows that Bnei Yisrael are on a different madrega, totally different, totally different. It's not we are just simply part of the rest of the Medaber, the rest of the human race. There's something very different about Bnei Yisrael. This expression, Adayim Tzameach Chai Medaber, Bnei Yisrael, this was in recent years. Rab Chaim Moiser, who was the Rav in Vilna, died about 1940, in the middle of the Second World War. So he was so enamored of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, so he used to say that everything in the world is divided into five categories. Damim Tzamea Chaim Adaber Briskerov. That's a different category. This comment, this joking comment that he made about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, was patterned after this statement of the Kuzari, that we have Damim Tzamea Chaim Adaber Bnei Yisrael. What exactly does it mean, Am HaNivchar, with respect to what are we, the Am HaNivchar? So the concept of Bechira appears in Tanakh in other contexts as well. It's not only with respect to Bnei Yisrael. Take, for example, in Parshas Re'eh in Chumash Devarim, the Pasuk speaks about Bnei Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide us to establish a Beis HaMikdosh in the Mokam HaShivcha Hashem. And that location where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose that the Beis HaMikdash should be located. And this is written twice. HaMokam HaShivcha Hashem is written twice. The Rashi in his commentary quotes from the Tanoim and the Sifrei, and the Gemara has this comment, why does it appear twice? The first time it's referring to Mishkan Shiloh, and the second time it's referring to the Beis HaBchira, to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So Rashi explains, and why are they separated? Lama Nosan Revach Beineihem. How come it's written twice, HaMokam HaShivcha Hashem? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that there was a difference between the Bechira of Shiloh and the Bechira of Yerushalayim. Real Bechira, full Bechira, has two parts to it. It means that I chose this place, a person, or item, whatever, to the exclusion of all other places. Here you're talking about a Re'eh, we're talking about Hamokam Shivcha Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Shiloh and he chooses Yerushalayim to the exclusion of all other places. There is no Heter Bamas. It wasn't permissible to bring Korbanos, not during the several hundreds of years of the Mishkan Shiloh, and not during the 410 years of the Bais Rishon. There was a prohibition to bring Korbanos anywhere else. So the first aspect of Bechira means this place to the exclusion of all other places. The second aspect of Bechira means that this is chosen forever and ever. So that aspect of Bechira only applied to Yerushalayim. That the Mishnah tells us in the end of Zvachim that Yerushalayim Ein Achrei Heter. After the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, there was never again going to be a Heter Bamas, even after the destruction of the temple. It was forbidden to build any Bamas anywhere else. Shiloh only had a partial Bechira, that it was only while Mishkan Shiloh was standing, it was forbidden to bring Korbanos in any other location. It was chosen to the exclusion of all other places, but it wasn't chosen Olamis. It wasn't an eternal choice. So that's where Rashi in his commentary on Chumash. Thank you very much. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Tanoim that that's why the pasuk in the Parsha in Re'eh mentions twice with a hafsok in between. First there'll be a partial bechiras makam on Shiloh, that'll only be a bechira to the exclusion of all other places, there'll be an Isur Bamas. Then, after Shiloh will be destroyed, that Bechira was not Olamis. And then you'll have a Bama Gdola will be a Nova Givon, but at the time of Nova Givon, it was permissible to have a Bama Ktana wherever they chose in Eretz Yisrael. Then the second Bechira, the second time, the Pasuk says, Hamakam Shivcha Hashem, that's going to be an eternal Bechira. That Yerushalayim not only had an Isur Bamas while the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it was Ein Achrei Heter. Even after Yerushalayim was destroyed, there wasn't going to be any Heter Bamas at all. So these two aspects of Bechira apply to the Jewish people as well. The Jewish people were chosen to the exclusion of all other nations, and the choice was Olamis. The choice of the Jewish people was forever and ever. That's the pasuk be'erastach li li'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's marrying the Jewish people forever and ever. Li'olam voed. Rashi has this in his commentary on Chumash at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. Rashi interprets the Pshuta Shal Mikra and the Psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he chose the Jewish people and he's not going to trade us in with any other nation. We remain the Am HaNefcha even after we sin. That's a discussion that the Talmud has in Kiddushin in the end of the first Perek. Are the Jewish people considered Banim Lamokim even when they sin or only when Osim Ritzonu Shamokim? So the conclusion of the Talmud is Afilu Bizman Shein Osim Ritzonu Shamokim. The Bechiras Yisrael is never lost. We retain our status as Banim Lamokam, even Mizman She'enosim Ritzonu Shamokam. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash explains the Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of pleading with the Jewish people, please, pretty please, keep my mitzvahs because I'm really in a predicament, I'm stuck. I chose you and I swore I'm never going to trade you in. Your choice, the Bechira of Klal Yisrael is Olamis, and I can never choose any other nation. We're stuck with each other. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo is pleading with us, we should keep the mitzvahs. In Yiddish folklore, it is said that the reason why we refer to the Rabbeinu Gershom, who lived before the days of Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom is known as the Mo'or HaGola, the one who gave enlightenment to the whole of Klal Yisrael, because Rabbeinu Gershom made several takonas. So two of his takonas combined together are what saved the Klal Yisrael. He made one takona that you can't divorce your wife, Bal Korcha, if she doesn't agree. And then he made another takon, another cherem, that you're not allowed to be noisa isha alishta, you're not allowed to marry a second wife. So the Rabbeinu Gershom made these two takonas to save the Jewish people. Like this, the Rebbeinu Shlom could have given us a get and goodbye, he could have gotten rid of us. Or he could have maintained his relationship with the Jewish people and taken another nation, chosen another nation. So because of the two takonas of Rabbeinu Gershom, we have the Rebbeinu Shlom in a bind, and he's stuck. So he saved us. Rabbeinu Gershom saved us. That's how they say in Yiddish folklore. But Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, writes, you don't need the Rabbeinu Gershom's two takonas. That's what it says in the Chumash. Rabbeinu Shalom chose the Jewish people, a Bechira Olamis. And even if we sin, Apilu Bizman Shein Eretz Yisrael Shamachim, they're also Nikru Bonim. The relationship is there. And it's an everlasting relationship. And we have the both aspects of Bechira. The Bechira is Olamis forever and ever. And the Bechira is to the exclusion of all others. No other nations will be accepted as the Yam HaNivchar. The Bechira was never lost even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is considered a Chiddush. The Talmud tells us in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, that after the destruction of the first temple, many of the Yisrael felt that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was an indication, was a simon lekach, that we lost our status as Am HaNivchar. Because various aspects of the Beis HaMikdash were in order to emphasize this fact that we were the Am HaNivchar. The fact that the Kruvim were hugging each other was to indicate Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMokim. It was like the Pasuk says, Nivra Yomim Kimar Ish Viliv Yosei. Like a husband hugs his wife, so too the Kruvim were the image of a man hugging a woman. And the ness that the Lechem Aponim never became stale, this was the purpose of the ness, was in order to indicate that Bnei Yisrael were the Yam HaNivchar. And the ness that the Neim Aravi always lit and it didn't go out, so the Talmud says also, in order to demonstrate that Bnei Yisrael were the Yam HaNivchar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things Lemaila Min HaTeva. Everything was with a Hanhoga of Nisim. So after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, which represents this concept, the Bnei Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so many of the Hamayinam thought, that means that we lost our Bechira. The Bechira Yisrael is over. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the prophets, several of the Nevi'im, at that time, to emphasize to the Bnei Yisrael, Eze Sefer Krisis Asher Shalachti Li'imchem, I never gave a get to your mother. The Jewish people are still my wife. We're still married. The Bechira is Eilomis. The Bechira was never terminated. And from that time on, the Bnei Yisrael understood that the special relationship, that the Banim Lamokom, and the special, the Medrash points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and expresses the love with every possible Lashon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to us as Bini B'chor Yisrael. Then he refers to us as Biti. Then he refers to us as his mother, and as his sister, and as his wife. People have loved their wife in one way. They love their son in one way. They love their daughter a different way. They love the sister. They love their mother. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us with all of these forms of love. And he refers to Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash quotes all of the Psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his love towards the Bnei Yisrael using all of these Lashonos. So the prophets came after the destruction of the first temple. The Talmud quotes all of this in Perek Chelek and the end of Sanhedrin. And they emphasize this, that the status of the Am HaNivchar that we were given remains even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing changed. So we heard it, so we accepted it from the Nevi'im. So when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we didn't have any Nevi'im, but we didn't need any Nevi'im to emphasize this, to re-emphasize it, to reiterate it. But Shein Gehert, we heard already at the occasion of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, that's when Christianity began. So part of the Christian, one of the Ikori, every religion has their own Ikori HaAmuna. So part of the Ikori HaAmuna of Christianity is that the Catholicism is that the Jewish people lost their status as the Am HaNivchar because they rejected Osa Huish. They didn't accept him as God, and because we didn't accept Osa Huish as God, that's why God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he sent us into Golos, because Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNivcheres that only belongs to the Am HaNivchar, to the chosen nation. And since we lost our status as the Am HaNivchar, we will never have the right to return to Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaNivcheres, until such a time that we will accept Osa Huish as God. It's interesting that over 100 years ago, when the Zionist movement began, that was the official position of the Vatican towards Zionism. They were opposed. They said they cannot, and it's not a secret. This was published in their newspapers in all the different countries, in Italian, and in French, and in Spanish, and in English, in America. It was published in all the newspapers. Some of you may remember, we used to have a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Feldblum, passed away, I think, a year or two ago. So his first wife was the daughter of Rabbi Yalis from Philadelphia. So her doctoral dissertation was exactly on this topic. What was the reaction of the Catholic Church towards the Zionist movement? She documented it. She just quoted from all the newspapers from all over the world. This was their official position, that the Jewish people rejected Osa Huish, so they lost their status as the Am HaNivchar. And Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNevcher is only for the Am HaNevcher, and until we will accept Osa Huish, we will not be able to return to Eretz Yisrael. So they were opposed to the Zionist movement. When the Medina was established so many years ago, in 1948, so the Vatican never recognized the Medina because it's against their Iker and Amuna. They were preaching for so many centuries that the Jewish people will not be able to return to Balabata over Eretz Yisrael until they'll accept Osa Huish. We lost our status as the Am HaNevcher. So they never recognized the Medina. They were hoping and praying to their Avodah Zarah that it would disappear, that they wouldn't have this embarrassment because it was a kasha. But the Medina didn't disappear. So they still didn't recognize for many, many years. They still didn't recognize the Medina. But they had to give a teretz to defend their position. So their official teretz was that the Jews don't have the real Eretz Yisrael. The real Eretz Yisrael is the old city, the Eir Atika, with the Mokam HaMikdash, with Hebron, where Avraham Avinu was, where the Ovis HaKdoshim lived. We had Tel Aviv in the modern, when the Medina began, so we only had the modern part of Eretz Yisrael. We didn't have the ancient part of Eretz Yisrael. So that was their official teretz on the Kasha. Then after the Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, so the jig was up. The teretz was Arab. So what kind of a teretz can... And they still didn't recognize the Medina. After Mohammed Sheshemim, still didn't recognize the Medina. So what could possibly be the teretz? So the very... If you will remember, but you don't have to have such a good memory, because they chazer it for you. Every year, the Pope repeats the same thing. The day after the Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim was over, so the Pope said he thinks we have to internationalize Yerushalayim. What does it mean? You have to take it away from the Jewish people, because it can't, according to their religion, it can't be in the control of the Jewish people. That's what they say explicitly. The Jewish people still have not accepted Osa Huish. So we no longer are the Am HaNivcha. So how can we have the teretz was that we don't have the real Eretz Yisrael? Now we do have the real Eretz Yisrael. If Eretz Yisrael is under the control of the Arabs, it didn't bother them so much. The Arabs are not in the running. They don't claim to be, I don't know, apparently that doesn't bother the Christians. The Muslims don't claim to be the Am HaNivcha, I don't know. But it bothers them that the Jews have officially rejected Yoshke. And they claim that we lost our status as the Am HaNivcher. And if you'll remember, so this the Pope keeps on repeating every year consistently. Whenever he visits Eretz Yisrael, whenever he doesn't visit Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter whether he visits, doesn't visit, he says he thinks we have to internationalize the city Yerushalayim, because according to their gloyim, it cannot be in Jewish control, because the Jewish people lost their status as the Am HaNivcher. And several years ago, when was it? About 10 years ago, when officially the Vatican finally recognized Medinat Yisrael. So I remember that Friday, I remember reading the newspaper, New York Times, that Friday said that there was a zet tachazet, there was an exchange for the fact that the Vatican recognized Medinat Yisrael. So what did Medinat Yisrael give to the Vatican? So it said in the newspapers they gave the Vatican permission to step up the missionary activities in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, if Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, because they plan to accept Yoshke. And they'll see to it that the Jews should accept Yoshke. Exactly. That's exactly what it was. It's scandalous. So we feel that we never lost our status as the Am HaNivcher. In fact, the Gemara in the first parak in Chagigah quotes a debate that took place in pantomime between one of the Rabbanim and one of the early Christians. So the Gemara says that the debate took place in the presence of the governor of that region, and the agreement was that whoever is going to lose the debate is going to lose his life. So the Christian had the first word in the debate. So the debate took place in pantomime. So he looks at the rabbi, and then he walks away like this. He walks away from the rabbi. And then they say to the rabbi, well, how do you respond to that claim? So the rabbi looks at the Christian and he goes like this. So the governor didn't understand was er gesagt, was er gesagt. He didn't understand what the whole debate was all about. So he asked the Christian, what did you mean? So the Christian says he wants to demonstrate that God rejected the Jewish people. They didn't accept Yoshke. So God, he walks away from the rabbi showing that that God is rejecting the Jewish people. We lost our status as the Am HaNivcher. And then the governor asked the goy, and what did the rabbi respond? He says, I have no idea what he responded. So the governor goes over to the rabbi and he asks, what did the Christian say? So he said, we know what the Christian said, that we lost our status as the Am HaNivcher. He walked away to show that God is walking away from the Jews. And what did you mean when you lifted up your hand? He said, we didn't lose our status as the Am HaNivcher. If God divorced us, Or if God sold us and no more Amanifcha, so finish it. We should be a nation like all the nations. Od Yoda Natuya, the fact that God is punishing the Jewish people, why was the Holocaust, why is it that the other minorities who suffered the Holocaust, no one suffered the same to the same extent as the Jewish people? The Jewish people are still the Amanifcha. All of the history of the world keeps on revolving about the Jewish people. If we are singled out for punishment, there must be a good reason. We are still the Amanifcha. Our status of Amanifcha was not canceled. So that's why the rabbi raises his hand and he says, Od Yoda Natuya, God is still punishing us. That means that we still retain our special status as Amanifcha. So then the Talmud says that the governor was angry at the Christian. He said, you have a chutzpah to present a debate and pantomime in my presence, and you don't understand what your bar plukta was responding to you, so you put the Christian to death. That's the end of the story. That's not the crucial part of the story. But the crucial part is that this position of the Catholics is recorded in the Talmud. That's how the commentaries explain it. And in the Sefer Yad HaKtano, there's a classic Sefer on the Rambam, Yad HaKtano, which is every so often quoted in the commentaries on the bottom of the Yerideya. It's by an anonymous author. And they say that it was written by a businessman. It wasn't written by a rabbi Bechlal, but it's a very wonderful Sefer. So he has on Halach and he has on Hashkofa. So he has on this passage in the Gemara, he explains what the debate was, like other commentaries explain. And then he says that when we speak about Hester Ponim, that we cannot see God, it does mean that God is not looking over, God is not watching over the Jewish people. Hester Ponim means that God's face is hiding from us, we cannot see him. But he sees us, he sees everything that he's watching over us, we just can't see him. And he quotes the pasuk in Shir Hashim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzitz Min HaCharakim. If somebody's standing in the room and looking at me so I can see him, if somebody's standing outside of the room and peeking through a keyhole, or peeking through a crack in the wall, Meitzitz Min HaCharakim, he can see me, but I can't see him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a hest upon him, Amanei, so it doesn't mean that he's not watching over us. He's watching, but we can't see him. To us it appears as if no one is watching over us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still watching, Meitzitz Min HaCharakim. We still have a special Hashgacha Pratis. In the davening, we emphasize the fact that this special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael has all of these forms of Ahava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to us, my son, my beloved daughter, my darling sister, my darling wife, all of the Lashonis. And the Gemara speaks, and the Nusach HaTfilah in the davening, we have two expressions to indicate the relationship of marriage. Benoik Shaboylam, when a couple gets married, so in some countries of the world, the husband takes on the wife's family name. And in America, usually the wife takes on the husband's name. My wife got married, her maiden name was Shapiro. When we got married, her name is now Schechter. The Marashah got married, so he took on his wife's name, Edlis. That was his Shviga's name. His Shviga supported his yeshiva. So he took on Rav Cook. Rav Cook's son-in-law thought that the name Cook is going to go better than whatever his original name was. So he took on the name Cook. People should know that he's Rabbi Cook's son-in-law. Ranan Cook, I think. I forgot already what his first name was. So we in the davening, we say that our marriage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in both ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ushmeinu Karosu Bishmech, he incorporated our name into his name. And we say, on the other hand, Bishimcha God of HaKadosh Aleinu Karosu, we have adopted his name, incorporated his name into our name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people. And we are referred to as Am Hashem. It's such a marriage, mamish geknüpften gebunden, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has incorporated the name of Bnei Yisrael into his. He took on our family name. We have adopted his family name to show that there's a real marriage. And this is still recited in the davening Ad HaYom HaZeh. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, after the Holocaust, we have still retained the status of Am HaNifcha. What does it mean that we are the Amanifcha? What is expected of us? So the pasuk in Yirmiyah, the Novi Yirmiyah, tells Bnei Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen us to serve as Or LaGoyim, and the Saticha LaOr Goyim, as a light unto the nations. The pasuk in Chumash also seems to imply like that. The pasuk we mentioned earlier from the Teichachem in Kisovai, that the pasuk says, V'halachta b'drochav, then the next pasuk says, V'ro kalam hi'orz, when all the nations of the world will seek Yishem Hashem nikra alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving your tzelem alekim v'yoru b'mekho, they should learn Yerushamayim from you. So the pasuk of Chumash seems to imply that part of the obligation of an Israel is to serve as an or la'goyim, to serve as a light unto the nations. We have to act in such a way that the Umas Olam should learn from us, midas tovus. This is al pipashtus, the meaning of the pasuk in Shemos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Bnei Yisrael as Bnei Bechori Yisrael. We are the firstborn. Whenever you have a few children, if you only have one child, so it doesn't apply. If you have a few children, so it's always expected of the oldest child to help the parents raise the younger children. The oldest child has to help out and has to show the way. And if the oldest child misbehaves, so the oldest child shows all the others that they should misbehave. So there's more expected of the oldest child. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bnei Bechori Yisrael, we are supposed to serve as Lior HaGoyim, Lior HaGoyim. We have to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu raise his other children. We are the Bechor. And B'Toras, being the oldest child, we have more of an obligation. We have the noblesse oblige, because we were chosen, so we have more of an obligation to be more medaktik. Even in the Sheva mitzvahs bin Anoach, Lomer Boy, not only do we have additional mitzvahs, tzitzis and shofar and many other sukkah and so many other mitzvahs, but even the Sheva, the basic Sheva mitzvahs bin Anoach that were given to all of mankind, we have to observe to a greater extent. Take for example, we all share together the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. The non-Jews are not permitted to worship Avodah Zarah, but they are not permitted to worship Avodah Zarah. But Bnei Yisrael have to be much more medaktik, the Umas HaOlam. We're not permitted to gain any hanor from Avodah Zarah. The Pashtus says that a Nochri may get hanor from Avodah Zarah. Or the Talmud says, if a Jew is not permitted to get hanor from Avodah Zarah, Kal V'chaim is not permitted to be mehana in Avodah Zarah. Let's say a Jew will give a donation to an Avodah Zarah, where they're building a church or something. So the Talmud says that this is a prohibition. It's a Kal V'chaim. If you're not allowed to get hanor, certainly you're not permitted to be mehana the Avodah Zarah. In recent years, I think it was last year, so a group of galochim contacted a certain rabbanim, and they said that they're losing a lot of their students in the seminary, and they see that in the yeshivas we're not losing any students. So they wanted to. So the galoch lustiger was the one who thought of this. So he thought that it must be the chavrusa system that they have in the yeshivas. The reason why they're losing is simply because the celibacy shtick, and because it's Avodah Zarah. Why are they losing? I'll give you 100 reasons, but they don't want to be my dilemma is why. So they have to chap on our territory. They said, it must be because we have the Chavrusa system. So they contacted Rabbonim who were connected with the yeshiva, and they said they want to come visit a yeshiva in order to learn the Chavrusa system, in order to introduce it in their seminaries. So the pashtus is that this is a biblical prohibition to help the seminarians figure out a system how to be successful to maintain their students in their seminary. That's like donating thousands of dollars. That's like donating $500,000 to the to a seminary, a Catholic seminary. Not talking Jewish theological. Talking about a Catholic seminary. You're not permitted to be Mahana Avodah Zarah. You're not permitted to help out on Avodah Zarah. If they have a problem that they're losing their seminarians, so we have to give them a krechts and say, well, we're sorry. Well, what can we do? But to teach them the secrets of Yiddishkeit, to try to introduce the secrets that we have into their religion, that should help them to further their religion. That's exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam prohibits. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us that we have to observe Avodah Zarah to the extent of Yehorik Bal Yavor. By the Nochrim, the Raman Paskins, like the Maskanas HaGemar, there is no requirement of Yehorik Bal Yavor. They're not obligated to give up their lives Al Kiddush Hashem, not to worship Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Talmud has a tradition, the Midrashim have the tradition, that Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kipshan Ha'esh because he refused to worship Avodah Zarah, even at the expense of losing his life. And the Mishnah HaMelech has in his Drush Sefer and the Parashas Drachim a whole essay about this. How come this is not written up explicitly in the Chumash? Such an unusual miracle that he was thrown into the Kipshan Ha'esh and he was spared. He should have been burnt alive. He should have gotten killed by the fire. How come it's written about the Hanan Mishael Bazaria? It's written about the miracle that were thrown into the Kibshan. How come it's not written over here? So the Mishnah Melech gives a very fascinating suggestion. He says, because Avraham Avinu did Shaloi Kedin, he wasn't obligated to give up his life Al Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam says, whoever is not obligated to, it's like suicide to do that. So he says, Avraham Avinu did wrong. Lemaisa Avraham Avinu was volunteered as an Eidah Mitzvah Yosef. It's like he made himself Jewish. He forced the Ribbono Shel Olam to accept him as a Jew. And the Memela as a Jew, so it makes sense there is an Inyan of Yehorik Val Yava. But strictly speaking, before he forced himself on the Ribbono Shel Olam, he did Shaloi Kedin, the Pashtus. But we have such a din that we have to enhance our observance of Avodah Zarah. We have to demonstrate such a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to even give up our lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Talmud understands that observance of Shabbos is also, in a certain sense, an enhancement of the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. That we, by observing Shabbos every week, we demonstrate that we subscribe to the story of creation, that God created the world and He has control over the whole world. And the Gemara even has a discussion in the second parak in Maseches Krisis regarding a Ger Toshav, a non-Jew who accepts upon himself the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So the Talmud understands every non-Jew has to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So what's added because he accepts it in the presence of a bezin of three Jews? What do you mean he's accepting to observe Sheva Mitzvahs? He's obligated anyway. Even if he doesn't accept it, he's obligated to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay on this in his Sefer Oitzvah Siyosef on Yerideya, in the beginning Simon Beis in Yerideya. So he says it would appear from the Gemara, and Avnei Neza has this as well, would appear from the Gemara that the Ger Toshav who accepts upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is now obligated to enhance his observance of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, not to get Hanua from Avodah Zarah, to be Yehorig Valyava, to observe all of the details of Avodah Zarah, Gila Rash, Vichas Dome, Meiv Menachai, and so on, like the Jews do, to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs with all the pitchefkis, with all the details. So that's why the Gemara has a dispute among the Tanoim. Perhaps the Ger Toshav, who accepts upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, maybe he's obligated to observe Shabbos, because Shabbos is also, in a certain sense, an enhancement of the mitzvah shelo la'abod Avodah Zarah, because we demonstrate that we subscribe to the story of creation. So one time is of the opinion taka enachinami that the ger toshav has to observe Shabbos, but you can't observe Shabbos like a Jew observes Shabbos. That's against the halacha. Yom v'layla lo yishbosu. So the ger toshav has to observe Shabbos to the same extent that the Jew would observe yontif. Next Tana says that that's no good, that observing Yontif is also prohibited for the non-Jew. So he has to, the Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos like a Jew would observe Chol HaMoed. And we pask, and the Gemara says, we pask like the third Tana, that even observing Shabbos like Chol HaMoed is also prohibited for the Nochri. So Hatanish Kembrera, the Ger Toshav cannot enhance his observance of Avodah Zarah in this area to observe Shabbos at all, even to observe Shabbos like Chol HaMoed, but also be forbidden to him, so they say he can't enhance it. Fafal. Part of our observance, part of our enhancement of the mitzvah of Shaloi Labad Avodah Zarah is the pasuk that we just read in Parashas Kedoshim, Al Tifnu Elhu Alilim. Now Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes the pasuk pshat in the pasuk Al Tifnu Elhu Alilim La'ovdein, that we should not worship Avodah Zarah. But that's only the Pshutu Shal Mikra, the Talmud in Gemara at the end of Maseches Shabbos, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, no machlokes. Talmud understands an additional level of interpretation. You have many, many psukim like that in Chumash, where you have pshuta shal mikra, ena mikra yetimidei pshuta, the pshuta shal mikra is emes, and then we have additional levels of interpretation. You have goyisha poems and goyisha books, where the author had more than one intention. He had an open kavanah, then he had a hidden kavanah. There were even books written by Nochem where there were two hidden kavanahs. So we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there's pshuta shal mikra, and there are many levels of the hidden interpretations. That's the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Talmud understands an additional level of interpretation on this pasuk al tifna elhu alilim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel kano, he's a jealous God, he doesn't want us to show any interest whatsoever in Avodah Zarah. We're not permitted to watch a movie about Avodah Zarah. There's a movie now about Avodah Zarah. All the Jews are going to watch it. This is a biblical prohibition, al tifna elhu alilim. You're not allowed to read books about Avodah Zarah, unless a person is a spokesman for the Jewish community and he's going to have to give a reaction. So sometimes there, Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, when he was once moving from one apartment to the other, so the grandchildren were moving all of his svarim, so they found he had svarim all over the place and bookcases he had in a closet also, stacks of svarim, so they found the Gospels on the bottom of the pile of all the svarim. So they said, Zayda, what are you doing with the Gospels? So he said, look, I was a rabbi in Toronto, and they had to deal with the Galachim. So you had to have a Gospels in order to know you got to know what you're talking about. You have to know what's a state and what's a state nish. You have to know how to discuss things intelligently with the Galachim. So the Gemara says, Lahavin alahiris, if a person is in a position of leadership, Rabbi Soloveitchik had a text. I'm never called upon to take a stand with respect to the Jewish position on anything in Christianity. So I don't read these things. Rabbi Soloveitchik was always called upon to take a stand on these things. He had no choice. Like Abyanka Kamenetsky, like many others. So the Rabbonim in Europe, many of them had to study certain aspects of it. But a layman who's not called upon to take a stand, we know too much already. We know too much about it. Even if you don't read the newspaper, we probably know more about Christianity than the Hamoinam of the Nochrim know about it. an intelligent Jew knows more about Avodah Zarah than the followers of their religion know. So this is what the Gemara says. This is, the Jews are expected to enhance the observance of the prohibition of Shalal Abed Avodah Zarah by not showing any interest whatsoever in the Avodah Zarah. Many Jews watch TV, so they're interested in watching a mass service in order to see what's going on. What do they do when they have their mass? So this is included in the same prohibition. Even though you're not going to the church, you're just watching it in the privacy of one's own home, this is still prohibited. I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated, and they had a mass in a church, so many Jews were watching the mass. The Rav Soloveitchik commented in the yeshiva, he was so upset about that. He said, not only is it forbidden because they demonstrate an interest in Avodah Zarah, he said that there's an additional issa. He said at that time the Catholic Church had issued a psak that b'shas hadchak, if it's too difficult for you to go to church in order to participate in the mass, kem yotzei zayin in hein. If you stay home and you watch it on TV, you're also yotzei. So he said, gevalt, so the Jews who stay home and they watch the mass, according to the Catholic religion, are participating in the Avodah Zarah. That's what they say. L'shitasam. So the Jew is mamish participating in the Avodah Zarah. It's terrible, but even if they would have passed him fakir, even according to the Mishnah Rishonah, that they said that you're not yaitzeh if you watch the mass at home. But still, just to show an interest, to display any interest in an Avodah Zarah, the Torah says that it's forbidden, unless it's lahavin al-haris, unless the person has to take a stand. It's very interesting that historically, before the emancipation, the concept that the Jewish people were the Yaman Ifchar was ingrained in all the Jews, and there wasn't any problem, there were no sfeikas. And it was after the emancipation that the problems came up. Why? Very poshut. Because kol zman that they were right after the Jews, and they were saying the dirty Jews, and the Jews are stupid, and the Jews are the source of all the sicknesses, and the Jews are this and that and the other thing, and we knew that it wasn't true. So they're telling us that there are different levels of human beings, that they're the super race, and the Jews are dogs, the Jews are second-rate citizens. So if they're telling us that there are two levels of human beings, and we know that they were telling us about us is not true, that we're a lower level, so we could believe what it says in the Torah, that we are the Yaman Ifcha. After the emancipation, and they declared that all men are created equal. You live in America, it's a democracy, everybody's created equal. So it's hard to maintain this emunah, that the Jewish people are the Yaman Ifcha. Where do you see that we're the Yaman Ifcha? We're the same as them. When the Nazis are persecuting the Jews, and when they're torturing the Jew can believe that he's the Yaman Ifcha. It's easy. Because the Nazis are saying that there are two levels of human beings. They're the super race, they're the special race, and we're the dirty Jews with all the sicknesses. We know it's not true. So we can believe, it's not so difficult to believe that we are the Yaman Ifcha. But if you live in the Gebenshta America, if you live soon after the emancipation in Europe, that they were going to give everybody equal rights because everybody is equal, everybody was created equal, is already a bigger challenge. That's why when Napoleon was waging the wars, and his platform was, his program was to give freedom to everybody and to give equal rights to everybody. So at that time, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the author of the Tanya, was opposed to Napoleon. He thought that this nisoyon of emancipating the Jews, giving the Jews equal rights and everything, would be too difficult for the Jews to withstand. And Lemaisa, he was right. We see that after the Jews were given equal rights, so many of the Jews no longer believe that we are the Yam HaNifchar. The Gemara has such an expression in the first perek in Chagiga. The Gemara says, the Rabbanu Shel Olam looked around the whole world at all the different midos to decide which mida fits with the Jewish people. Lamata HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida tov l'Yisrael ela anius, poverty. The Nisayon HaOni, we know how to succeed with. The Nisayon HaOshir is very difficult. When we're given equal rights with the Nochem, when we're given a shefa, brocha, a lot of money, and we don't have to work so hard for a living, so that Nisayon is too difficult for the Jewish people to survive in. Nisayon HaOni we can succeed in. The Rambam does not list this principle of Bechiris Yisrael as one of his Yud Gimel Ikar HaMunah, but nonetheless it certainly is. We don't know exactly what the Yud Gimel Ikar HaMunah is supposed to represent. There are many more principles in HaMunah. This principle that Bnei Yisrael are the Yaman Ifchar is certainly one of the major Ikar HaMunah. The Ramban HaChumash says not only is this one of the major Ikar HaMunah, Bnei Yisrael are the Yaman Ifchar, but more than that, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that the Jewish history is L'mayla Min HaTeva, that the rules and regulations of normal chukei ateva of history don't apply to the klal Yisrael. The klal Yisrael's history is l'mayla min ateva. Ramban says whoever doesn't believe that, they ain't lo chelik in the Jewish religion. That's an ikir that's repeated throughout the whole Chumash, throughout the whole Tanakh, that the Jewish history is lamayla min ha-teva. When the HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the prayers of the Umas HaOlam as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shamea Tfilos Kol Peh. He listens to Shamea Tfilos Dechol Kol Basa Yavo. Everybody comes. But we have special schusim. It says in Tanakh, the Jewish people have special rights. We have special ability to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu our prayers, stand a better chance of being answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Yoina HaNovi that the Midas HaRachmim HaShem HaShem Rachmachanan and so on apply to the Umas HaOlam as well, but the Bris Krusa LeYud Gilamida Shein Achaz Yisrekim is only with Bnei Yisrael. It's not with the Umas HaOlam. Klal Yisrael have clearly. We believe that we have a special level of status of Am HaNivchar. Even in the areas where we share in common with the Umas HaOlam, everything is different. And this concept that the Tanakh speaks of, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and one of the many expressions is he loves us like a couple, like a husband loves the wife. So we have a principle in the Gemara, the Baal Ki Yishtoi and Ishti Ki Gufoi, that there's a blending in of the two personalities. The Ravid learns on the Gemara, the Baal Ki Yishtoi is considered a Baldover. It's considered as if it's the same person, not Stam a relative, it's considered Baldover. So in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Bnei Yisrael and he singles them out with this special Banim Lamakim, with this special relationship, more of a Tzelem HaKim than the other nations have. This is a very significant principle. As I say, we mention this in the davening every day. Asher Bachar Manim Mikol HaAmim, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, all the mitzvahs are based on the assumption that Klal Yisrael have a special Bechira. We are the Am HaNivchar, we were chosen, and whether we follow the mitzvahs, if we don't follow the mitzvahs, they're also Nikra Banim Lamakim. And just to conclude with the comment that the Chafetz Chaim made on the Pasuk, that we mention every day in the Bola Tzion, we say, Vanizos, Brisi, Osama, Mar, Hashem, Ruchi, Asher, Olecha, Dvar, Shasam, Tebeficha, Lo, Yimusha, Mipicha, etc. So the Chavetz Chaim pointed out, the grammar of the Pasuk is a little megumgum. It should say, Vanizos, Brisi, Itom. You make a Krisis Bris with the Jewish people. What does it say, Vanizos, Brisi, Oisom? I'm making a Bris on them? So he said, no. Brisi, Itom would have meant, he's making a Kodesh Baruch is entering into a contract with the Jewish people. We agree, and he agrees, okay. And then if we decide to walk away, so we walk away. No more contract. No, on the Brisi Oysom, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Kof Aleihem Har Kegiges. He forced the Bris on us. Whether we like it or not, that's what's going to happen. Lo Yomusha Mipicho, Mipizaracha, Mipirizarazaracha, Me'ata Bad Oilam. A lot of times you have a Jew wants to run away from the Torah, he wants to run away from Shmiras and Mitzvah. You have a lot of the people who founded Medinas Yisrael. There were such apikursim and such lahachasnikas and such mishamodim, and then their grandchildren are now learning in yeshivas. You have from the biggest communists who were the biggest participants in the communist party in Russia, and they were against all religion. They didn't believe in anything, and their grandchildren, their great grandchildren are now learning Torah. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim said. The pshat we saw in America, many Jews came to America. They threw out the whole religion. Nothing. They kept nothing. So their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, some of them are attackers still lost, and many of the others are forced back to come back to Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim said, Vanizas Brisi Oysom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forcing the Bris on Bnei Yisrael. He chose us as the Am HaNivcha, whether we like it or not. I feel it is Ban She'enos when Son of Shemachim. They don't keep the mitzvahs, they're still Banam HaMachim. Lo Yomusha Mipicho, you can't run away from the Torah, and even if you do Mipizaracha, Mipizera Zaracha, second generation, third generation, Torah is going to catch up with you. You cannot run away. This is the special status of the Bnei Yisrael, that we have it in our DNA. This is Bonim Lamokam, we have it in our genes, that we are the Am HaNivchar, and there's no running away from this. And this requires of us, it's expected of us that we have more responsibilities. We're supposed to serve as the Or LaGoyim.